the book of 3 John. Now, that's right before the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Right before Revelation, you have the little book of Jude and then 3 John. And I want you to find with me, please, 3 John. And as you bring me back a little bit in the age, John, as you look at the handout this morning, you notice that the title here of the message is, "What Kind of Church Will Crossroads Be?" And as you look at that title and you ask that question, let me ask you another question. What will be the determining factor in answering that question? What's going to be the determining factor? Let me just submit this to you. When we think about what kind of church we're going to be here in Daytona Beach, Florida, that's not the kind of church that we are is not going to be determined by our buildings, our budgets, our literature, our website, or the programs that we offer. Let me tell you something this morning, church. The church is not the buildings. The church is not the budget. The church is not the programs. The church is the people. The church is the people. It is a living organism that the Bible calls the body of Christ. If you look at verse 9, look at 3 John 9. The Apostle John says, "I wrote unto the what?" Now, when he said, "I wrote unto the church," did he mean I wrote unto the building? No, we don't write letters to buildings, do we? When he wrote a letter to the church, who was he writing to? He was writing to the what? The people. Now, there are two central characters in this book, and this is a review. If you've been here this last month, you ought to know this. Look, I want you to look at your handout. The first central character in the book is a man by the name of what? Gaius, and he was a godly man. He was a godly man who loved the truth of God, and he wanted other people to be able to hear God's truth. He was what we would call a fellow helper to the truth. Look down at verse 8. "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Now, there's another man in the book, and his name, I'm not going to make you say this one, Gaius is kind of easy, you know. But the next one is Diotrephes. Now, who is this guy? Diotrephes was a selfish man. He was a selfish man that believed that everything revolved around him. He refused to help God's missionaries, like the Jaloics. He was anti-missionary. He was not a helper to the truth. You know what he was? He was a hinderer to the truth. If you look down there at verse 9, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren," talking about these missionaries, "and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." After telling us about both of these men, Gaius, a helper to the truth, Diotrephes, a hinderer to the truth, look how he concludes here in verse 11. He says, "Beloved, follow not that," can you bring me back, John? It's still ringing up here. "Beloved, follow not that which is evil," he says, "but that which is what? Good. He that doeth evil is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So what he's saying is a personal decision has to be made. Are we going to be a Gaius church and follow that which is good? Or are we going to be a Diotrephes church? And are we going to follow that which is evil? Now that question is going to be determined by you and me because we're the people that compose Crossroads. So it's going to be determined by us, our attitudes and our actions. Now we've seen four families. We'll bring it up on the screen here. We've seen four families the past 4 weeks. We saw the Branscoms going to underground China, the Dobbs who are in Muslim country of Jordan, the Brockells in the Dominican Republic, been there 12 years, and then the Jaloics who desire to go to Zambia, Africa. We've seen these families. We've seen their desire to want to go forth and spread God's truth to these parts of the world that you and I maybe will never go to. What is going to be our attitude towards servants of God like that? Are we going to have the spirit of Gaius? And are we going to be their fellow helper? Or are we going to be like Diotrephes? Now, I hope that your spirit this morning and your attitude is, man, I want to be a fellow helper to the truth. I hope that's your attitude, and I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that everyone in here right now is thinking, I want to be a Gaius. Amen? I could just tell. I can read your mind. That's what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, not thinking about lunch. You're not thinking about football. You're thinking, I want to be a Gaius. I want to be a fellow helper to the truth. And you know, if that's your attitude, and I hope that it is, we got to understand there's two key components that we've not hit on yet that I want to mention this morning. Here's what it's going to take. Give you the last two. Okay. Number one is this. It's going to take time. T-I-M-E. Boy, what a precious commodity that is. Life is busy. There's no doubt about that. And you know, it seems like it gets busier. You know, I've got three boys, and as they get older, it seems like our life gets busier and busier and busier. And with modern day transportation and modern day communication and with computers and with phones that do everything, you know, and with television sets and all this, it seems like there's less and less time. But folks, there's no way around it. If we're going to be a Gaius, if we're going to be a fellow helper to the truth, it says in your handout, it's going to take an investment of time. It's going to take you blocking off some time and saying, you know what, this is important stuff. And I am going to block off some time to be a fellow helper to the truth. It goes back to last week, you know, when we talked about it's going to take unselfishness. They kind of tie in together, don't they? You know, and we talked about the necessity to put aside our own personal agenda. And we all have our own agendas of what we're trying to do and accomplish. But it's going to take setting that aside and investing some time into what some other people are doing for the cause of Christ. Gaius was a man that took time to help these Jewish missionaries that were trying to get the truth of God out. Look at verse 5. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully," John writes to Gaius, "whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." This guy was helping people he knew, people he didn't know. Verse 6, he says that these people have borne witness of thy, of Gaius' charity before the church. These people were talking about Gaius and what a blessing he was. "Whom if thou bring forward on their journey," you help them get where they're going after a godly sort, "thou shalt do well." It appears from the text that this man Gaius would open up his home to people like that, missionaries, people who were trying to do God's work. He'd open up his home. He would provide resources for these men to be able to continue their mission work. I can promise you this took an investment of Gaius's time. He took time to help these missionaries. He took time, you know, to be an encouragement to them, to be interested in their ministries and what they were trying to accomplish. He was verse 8. Look at verse 8. "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." He was a fellow helper to the truth. Now, church, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you think, those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think that we ought to help to get the truth of God out to this world? Do you think we ought to help do that? Do you believe that if we help get the truth of God out in Zambia, do you believe that lives will be changed? Amen? Now, we say amen. Yes, we need to get the truth of God out. And we say, yes, amen. I believe if the truth got to Zambia, I believe with all my heart that lives would be changed. And we say, amen. But sometimes, I'm afraid that our actions maybe don't match our words. For example, give you an illustration. Oh, hey, Brother Steve. Hey, come on, Brother Steve. Hey, man, it's good to see you today. How you doing, man?
Good.
Hey,
good.
Let's turn that white mic on, John. Steve wants to tell me something. I can tell. I could tell you were sitting there thinking something, weren't you?
I was. Actually, well, you know, I was watching that video on the Jalowicks and about a desire if they have to go to Zambia.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? Me and you could do that. We could do that here. We could go local visiting. Yeah, we go in Daytona. We could just go door to door, you know, some night, and we could try to, you know, bring people to Crossroads. We could try to teach them God's Word and try to see if we could maybe help solve their problems.
You are getting me excited right now. You mean you want to go out and help get the truth out?
Oh, yeah.
You want to go out with me?
Absolutely. I think we should plan it. Let's figure out a day we can do this.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Let's figure out a time. Let's see. Sunday, we're in church all day. Monday night.
Monday night. Yeah. Well, you know, it's football season. I am a member of the... I'm a member of the quarterback club, and then there's Monday Night Football. So Monday's really not a good
night.
Okay,
that's a bad night. All right, that's cool. That's cool. There's six other ones. Let's see, Tuesday. Yeah, I'm free Tuesday night. What about Tuesday night?
Well, actually, I sit on this board, you know, for the Homeowners Association.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of in the chairman position, so I really got to go to that. So Tuesday night's really not a good
night
for me.
Yeah,
Tuesday's out.
It's out.
Yeah, Tuesday's
okay.
out.
All right, Wednesday night's church, we're here.
There's other days.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
there is. Wednesday night, so Sunday we're in church. Monday's out. Tuesday, you got a committee meeting. Wednesday night's church. Thursday night. Thursday night.
Kind of got some programs on TV Thursday night that, you know, I really, you know, there's some specials on Discovery Channel and some things, military channel.
All right, so your favorite TV programs are
there.
All right, okay.
I'm sorry.
All booked up that night.
Yeah, I'm booked up.
All right. Friday night.
Friday night's family night.
Family night?
Yeah, I spend time with Dawn. Usually it's date night, and then we'll go do something with the, you know, Skylar.
You're afraid of your wife, aren't you? I can tell.
Well.
All right. Okay.
It's important. Family night's important.
Family night's important. Yeah. I'm with you. All right. So let's see. Monday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday morning
here's when I mow.
You mow the grass.
Yeah, I mow the grass.
Okay, you mow the grass.
In the afternoon, they usually, you know, we got that new gym, so
right.
we come and play ball with the guys over there.
You play ball with
Saturday,
the guys.
Saturday, and then
fellowship,
pretty,
bonding.
Yeah, we got to have that fellowship.
Yeah, got to have the bonding.
You know,
right.
I go home and study. I don't know. I'm pretty tired after that.
I bet you are, Steve. Well, I tell you what, man. Hey. I'm so glad you want to get the truth out.
I want to do it. Let's do it. Let's figure a day.
Listen, I'll call you sometime. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, man, let's give him a hand. Good job, Steve. Now, that was a skit. All right. That didn't really happen, but I think y'all got the point, didn't you? I want to be a fellow helper to the truth. Amen, Pastor. But it's going to take an investment of what? Time. When you take time to help and encourage a missionary by praying for him, taking time to read his prayer letters, sending him an email, taking them out to eat, maybe having them over to your house if they're in town, sending them a care package on the field, that takes time to prepare, buy the stuff, put it in a care package, go to the post office, and all that takes time. Oh, but what a blessing. Sending them a birthday card. When you do these things, you become a fellow helper to the truth, but it is going to take some of your time. You know, as we bring up our acrostic again, how are we going to get the truth of God out? It's going to take teamwork. The R in truth is for responsibility. Somebody's got to step up to the plate and say, I'll do it. It's going to take unselfishness. You know, we got to put aside our own personal agenda, and then let's look at the next one. We just covered it. It's going to take what? Time. And you know, in your hand out there at the bottom, you know what it says? And I believe this with all my heart. I've been in the ministry a long time, and I have learned this about people. We make time for what is what? Important to us. You got the blank already. Yep. We make time for what is important to us. If the truth of God means something to you, you'll make time. If it doesn't, then you won't. Let's look at the last point this morning. And this is the last letter in the word truth. And the H stands for helpers. If we're going to get the truth of God out, it's going to require helpers. I want you to go down to verse 8 in our text. Would you please do that? Look down at verse number 8. We therefore ought to receive such... that we might be fellow, everybody say that word, fellow what? Helpers to the truth. In your handout, it says the word fellow helpers is the idea of partnership. Partnership. It's from the Greek word that we get the English word synergy. What does that mean? Synergy is two things working together, two things working together that accomplish more than if they were working individually apart from each other. Two things working together that accomplish more than if they were working individually. It carries the idea of this, to give you an illustration. If your friend needs to dig a ditch, then you don't help him by just handing him a shovel and saying, "Here you go, here's a shovel, dig. I just want to be a helper, here's a shovel." No. The idea of fellow helper, synergy, it's the idea that you grab a shovel, you get down in the ditch with him by his side, and you help him dig. Now you are a fellow helper. Gaius was a fellow helper. He was a partner. He would receive these missionaries who were going out to preach the Bible. He would help them. And in doing that, do you know what he was doing? He was helping the truth of God. In doing that, he was helping the truth itself. Listen, when you help a missionary, you're literally helping the truth itself. You are a fellow helper with the truth. What does God think about that? What does God think when you do that? Look down at verse 6 and let's see. The Bible says that people had borne witness of Gaius's charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, talking about these missionaries, if you bring them forward on their journey after a godly sword, what does that say right there? Thou shalt what? Do well. You know what God says? God is pleased. God says, when you help my messengers get the gospel, the truth out, God says, you do well. Are you a fellow helper? You say, but Pastor Dan, what can I do to be a fellow helper? What can I do? And you know, you probably know that I'm going to give you some ways you can help. You knew that was coming next, right? I'm going to give you several things here. I want you to go to your handout and I want you to get these. Number one is you can offer them prayer support. Prayer support. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a missionary. We know he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he traveled and he went planting churches like the Jalloks want to do. Would you do me a favor? I believe we're going to be done with 3 John. So I want you to leave that book, and I want you to go back to the left several books to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. I want you to find the book of Ephesians. It's one that Paul wrote. He's writing to a local church at Ephesus. And it's Ephesians chapter number 6. It's after Galatians, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter number 6, right there in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is a missionary. And I want you to notice what he begs the church to do. Look at verse 18. He says here in verse 18, please, he's saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance. In other words, don't quit praying, and supplication for all saints. Look at verse 19. And he said, pray for me. Pray for me. What do you want me to pray about, Paul? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, I'm begging you, church, pray for me. Pray that I'll be a good missionary. Pray that I'll preach the truth. Pray that I won't compromise it. Pray that I'll be bold in my witness. He says, pray for me. You know, God may use you to mobilize some prayer meetings, focusing on specific requests from our missionaries. You say, how am I supposed to know? He's in Zambia or he's in Dominican Republic. How do I know what their prayer requests are? Boy, with the modern day means of communication, with literally a few clicks, you can know what your missionary's needs are. And if you don't know, really, there's nobody to blame but yourself, because you can know what their needs are and know how to pray. You say, how? Would you bring that up, Debbie? Go to this. We're bringing up right now on the screen our website. That is crbible.com. CR for Crossroads, Bible.com. crbible.com. That's our website. And if you look over here, see that where it says missions? Go ahead and click on that. You go right there on the home page. Okay, now you're at missions. Go over to the right over there. See where it says missionaries? Click on missionaries. Now, if you'll scroll down, Debbie, you'll notice that it starts with the A's. We got the Aldermans, the Andersons. These are missionaries that begin with A. Go on up, Debbie, and you notice where it says sort by last initial over there to the right, Debbie. Keep going, yeah, right there. There you can sort by initial. You can look up any missionary. And or you could just start with the A's and work down to Z and just, you know, go through systematically if you want to. But if you look, let's go to the aldermans real quick. Go to the aldermans. Scroll down a little bit, Debbie. And notice it's got their email address. It's got their birthdays up there. It's got their... And then you notice over here right under their picture. See where it says read our letter? If you click on that, read our letter, boom, there it is. July 2011. This is their latest prayer letter, and it's going to lay out for you what's going on over there in Togo, Africa, and what their needs are, what their prayer requests are. And so you can offer them prayer support. There's no reason why you can't. With just a few clicks of your computer, you're there. You know what their needs are. Okay? All right, let's go to the next one. Number two is logistical support. Now, what does that mean? Now this is interesting. Now, I want some of you businessmen out there and business ladies to listen closely, all right? Those of you who are very good with your hands, or you're good at doing things, or you're good at organizing, you could offer logistical support to our missionaries. What does that mean? I'm going to give you some examples. You become a tool through which you provide services and equipment to our missionaries. You could see God do some amazing things through you in this area. For example, let's go ahead and go to the screen here. This right here is called Canaan Land Retreat. This is a family that has a retreat that they have up in the mountains of North Carolina. This is a no-cost missionary retreat for missionaries. They can go there, stay, kind of get refueled at no cost. This is just a family that had a burden to be a Gaius. How can we be a Gaius? Well, hey, we got this property, we got these, let's do this. And boom, there they are. Let's go to the next one. This is called Missionary Motors. This is a group, I believe, out in Missouri. And what they do is they serve missionaries with automotive repair, and they give them loaner vehicles. A lot of these missionaries, they come back from the field, we forget, they don't have a car. They can't afford to ship a car over here from Africa. So now they're over here on a year deputation or furlough. They've got no transportation. So now they've got to come up with a vehicle. And so here's an organization. They offer vans to missionaries. They loan out these vans at no charge to the missionary. They do it to be a blessing to these missionaries. And they also do automotive repair. And I know one of our church members talked to them, and they said, yeah, we're in dire need of something like this on the East Coast. We're out here in the West, but boy, we really wish there was something like that on the East Coast for the missionaries. Awesome. They're a Gaius, okay? Let's go to the next thing here. Here's another example. This is called Home of Peace of Oakland. This is an organization that does shipping and freighting for missionaries. They prepare tax and tariff documentation at no charge. They assist with brokering large purchases in overseas locations. They have a low-cost bed and breakfast where missionaries can stay there. What an awesome idea. We've got a couple of ladies right here in our church. We'll bring it up. This is Kathy Lowry, Kathy Shive. These are some modern-day Gaiuses right here in our church. Say, what do you mean? When we've had missionaries come this last month, these ladies have opened up their homes, vacated their house. They'll go stay with each other, and then they'll give the missionaries the run of their house for a week. And I thought, man, isn't that awesome? What a modern-day Gaius. Just open up their home. Here it is. It's yours. Here's the key. See you later. You know, and they just let them have the run of the house for a week so that they're not in a cramped-up motel room, and they've got a whole house to be able to live in while they're here. What is this? This is what we would call logistical support. Now, what is it you're good at? What is it you could organize? What is it you could do to be a Gaius? You know, and I encourage you, think it through. Logistical support. Let's go to the third one. Number three is financial support. By the way, a couple examples in the Bible of logistical support, just to go back up there for a second. Paul, when he was in Corinth, Brother Rob just preached on Aquila and Priscilla. They opened up their home to Paul, and they gave him a job making tents with him so that he could provide for himself. Logistical support. There was a man in Corinth named Justus. He opened up his home for Paul to start the church in his house. And again, logistical support. All right, financial support. You're in Ephesians. Go to the next book, Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, some of you are good at making money. I'm being honest. Some of you are gifted. You have an uncanny ability to make money. And that's awesome. Use it to help God's truth get out. Use it for the Lord. Look at Philippians 4, verse 15. It says, "Now ye Philippians," Paul says, "know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." And now look what he says. These folks had given sacrificially to Paul's ministry. And he said, "It's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable." And what's the last phrase? "Well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Financial support. Look at the next one in your handout. You could offer correspondence support. What is that? That's where you send them a letter. You shoot them an email. You send them a birthday card. Give them an update on what's going on at Crossroads. You know, I know people. You know what they do here in the States? Their ministry is... our missionaries, they send out these prayer letters like I brought up on the screen. They send those out once a month. Some of them do it once every other month. Some of them do it once a quarter. Usually it's at least once a quarter. There are people in the States who what they do is they'll get the letter because a lot of churches still want a hard copy for their files. So what they'll do is they'll get the letter from the missionary and they'll get it all ready, prepared, and they send it out for them here in the States, see, so that they're not trying to ship, you know, send letters all the way from overseas. They do it here in the States for them. Correspondence support. Look at the next one. Moral support. Boy, that's a biggie. Moral support. Let me ask you a question. If you're in Zambia or if you're in the Dominican Republic and you're an American and all your family's here and all your friends are here, do you think there are ever going to be lonely days? You're doing God's work, man. You're getting God's truth out. But are there going to be lonely days? Yes, absolutely. You know what would be cool for moral support? If some of our people would take it upon yourself to send them a care package. Send them an email. Say, "Hey, what's some things that you can't get on the field?" You'd be shocked. Some missionaries have said they can't get peanut butter on the field where they're at. You can't get it. Some of them have said you can't get chewing gum on the field. Or you can't get good coffee. You can't get any kind of decent coffee on the field. I forget, what was it the Brockells told us that they couldn't get over there? And she said, finally they got it in the store, but then it disappeared like that. Oh, I know what it was. We call them WAP biscuits. You know the biscuits that come in the can and you WAP them on the counter? And you know, we call them WAP biscuits is what we call them. And they can't get WAP biscuits over there. You'd be shocked at these missionaries, how it would literally make their month if they got a care package from the States with some of these items that they can't get. God wants you to use your gifts and abilities that you have, you possess, to help get the truth out. Does God want you to take the gifts and abilities He's given you, and does He want you to just use those things on yourself, yes or no? No. He wants you to use them for others. Got a picture here. You know, I was thinking about this. Some of you could head up a team to go to the mission field. You could help provide a construction team. You could help provide a vacation Bible school team. You could head up a music team. You could head up a medical team. Some of you could organize a women's conference and have that over there on the mission field for the missionary in their church. Some of you could do a men's conference. Some of you could do a teen retreat. The possibilities are endless of things you could do. Here's some pictures. I'll bring them up real quickly. These are some pictures of some of our people. And here's a picture. That's a good one. You say, what in the world is that? That is an illustration. How many of you were here when you heard Brother Brockell say, "We'll go down into the hole if you guys will hold the ropes"? You see, they are counting on us to hold the ropes. They want us back in the States to hold the ropes. How? Prayer support, logistical support, financial support. The other things here, the moral support, correspondence support. We'll go in the hole, we'll go down, but will you hold the ropes for us? That's all they want. Let's go real quick. Can you go to some of the missions pictures we have, Debbie? Here's a picture of a couple of our members that are in the Ukraine, the country of Ukraine, and they're over there doing a construction trip. Here's another picture of a team that we sent over to Peru. They're doing a vacation Bible school over there for the missionary in Peru, helping them with that. You go to the next picture here. Here's a team that left our church, went to New York City, and they helped to remodel a broken down church building to help the missionary to prepare for his first service in inner city New York. Here's another team that went to London, and they helped this missionary. He had a huge Bring a Friend Sunday, anniversary Sunday, and they went over to help him, and they had a record day that day in attendance and soul saved because our team went over and worked like crazy helping that missionary to get the word out. What is this? These are modern day Gaiuses. You know, are we going to be a Gaius or a Diotrephes? What kind of church is this going to be? Well, it depends on us. We're the people. We're the church. You know, we got to give of our time. In your handout, the last statement there says, there is no way that our missionaries can successfully accomplish their mission without humble, behind-the-scenes helpers. There's no way they can accomplish it without humble, behind-the-scenes workers. I want you to look down at the bottom of your handout. Look down at the bottom. What's it going to take if we're going to be fellow helpers to the truth? Can we say them all together? We took the word truth and we made it into an acrostic to help you remember what it's going to take. Number one, it's going to take what?
Teamwork.
Come on, let's say it together. Say it loud. What is it?
Teamwork.
Number two, someone's got to step up to the plate and not assume someone else is going to do it. Number three,
unselfishness.
We got to set aside personal agendas and get in on God's agenda, what He's doing on the earth. Number four, we covered this morning, is what? No way around it, folks. You saw the funny illustration with Brother Steve. You know, there comes a point where we got to put away the excuses and we got to say, I'm going to put some time into this. And then number five is what?
Helpers.
It's going to take us all doing our part to support these missionaries. And I gave you five or six ways that you can do that this morning. Will we be a Gaius church or a Diotrephes church? Well, that depends on us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.